to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcorey.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
So tonight on the Parents Show, we are talking about the government's proposed changes to increase the child-to-nursery worker ratio and whether these changes might impact on the quality of childcare our children receive. Critics of these proposals argue that it may lead to poor quality childcare and even to more accidents in early year settings. Those in favour maintain that by relaxing the staff-to-child ratios for certain age groups, nurseries could reduce costs and possibly make childcare more affordable. Our guests this week will be Neil Leach, Preschool Learning Alliance, Ben Black from My Family Care, Shirley Heyman, an early years expert, and Peter Lilly, MP for Harpenden. Have your say, email us on parentshow@radioverulam.com or give us a call on 01727 839 926.
That's right. So I'm sure people are familiar. It's been in the media quite a lot, Lydia. Elizabeth Truss, who's the Parliamentary Undersecretary of State for Education and Childcare, has proposed these changes to staff-child ratios. Hopefully we'll be able to hear her. We've got a little audio of what the changes might actually be about.
Childman is allowed to look after more children in their care. Can one person really safely look after 6 2-year-olds at one time?
Well, what we're saying is this is in a nursery setting, so it's a group setting. And what we find is that in countries like France, this happens all the time. It's standard practice. And it means that nurseries can pay more and they can hire more qualified people. And what we're doing today as well is we're raising the standards so that parents will be able to get more available nursery places and also higher quality places.
Okay.
At the moment, to be a nursery qualified nursery provider, you don't have to have a C in English and maths at GCSE, and that's one of the key standards we're putting in.
Right.
So what we're moving towards the practice in high quality European countries, which do this all the time.
Okay.
There we go. So that was Liz Truss talking about the proposed changes. Now we're joined in the studio. We've got Shirley Heyman here, who many of you locally will know because she was the manager of Riverbanks Nursery School, which was always rated consistently outstanding by Ofsted. And we know, Shirley, you've got over 25 years experience.
That's right.
Of working with small children. Why should parents care about this ratio debate? Why do ratios matter?
Cathy, I think they matter massively, you know, and I don't know that parents always do care if actually they're even aware sometimes of what the ratios are. So I was thinking about it, you know, why do parents need to care? Well, I would say if they want their children to be kept safe, you know, a lot of these preschools and nurseries are in church halls, scout huts, community centres, you know, buildings that need a lot of managing by a lot of people. So if they want their children safe, they need high ratios. If they want their children to be kept healthy and attended to, you know, if the children need their noses blown, they need potty training help, they need to put their gloves on a snowy, cold day, that's why we need to keep the ratios that we have. You know, if they want their children listened to, our curriculum, you know, our earliest foundation stage says that the practitioners need to tune in and listen to children. You can't do that, one of me to 13 of them. I've only got one pair of ears. If they want their children educated, and I think, you know, we would probably say that around here in the southeast of England, particularly, I guess, in St Albans and Harpenden, we do want our children to have quality education from an early stage. You know, they need lots of qualified adults around them. 1 to 13 is not going to do it.
So you're saying the government is suggesting that you would be in charge of 13?
That's right.
3-year-olds.
In fact, I could do that now with the qualification I have, Cathy. I don't do it, I wouldn't do it, and I don't encourage anybody to do it.
So you're saying even with your experience, you would never take that on?
I just think I'm putting myself at risk as well as the children.
Mm. Talk us through, Shirley, what is it actually like? Because when we drop our children off to nursery, we think, gosh, I could never do that job. It's so difficult. It's, you know, they must be exhausted by the end of the day. What is it actually like working in that setting with young children all day?
Now, I do feel quite sort of qualified to tell you about this, parents out there, because I've done it for 25 years. You know, I've done it every day, taken children to the potty, wiped their noses, taught them how to read, led a team of 18 other adults, talked to parents, taken phone calls. It is exhausting. It's rewarding. It's amazing. It's a privilege, but it is emotionally and physically exhausting. And even on the ratios that I was working on, 1 to 4 right across from 0 to 5 years, 1 to 4, much higher than they ask us to be, we were exhausted by 4:30 at the end of the day. And we're not even doing 7:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night, which a lot of my colleagues are doing in daycare settings.
And there are obviously such a variety of settings. You know, parents have the option of childminder.
That's right.
Nurseries, state nurseries, private nurseries, childminders. It's just such a variance. I mean, what would you say that, how would the ratios alter? People are quite confused about what it actually means if they have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a baby, even if they're putting them into those settings.
I mean, by law at the moment in Britain, if people are putting their 0 to 2-year-olds into some kind of nursery setting, we're looking at one adult being allowed to care for 3 0 to 2-year-olds max.
Okay.
Okay, so imagine, Kathy, if you were mum to triplets, okay?
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
No?
No.
But could you do triplets, you, under two, all day, every day, from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m, you know, and keep the house going. And, you know, it's just exhausting, isn't it?
It's hard to fathom exactly why it's been brought in. Just to give you an example, Shirley, we've spoken to a couple of other childminders in the St. Albans area, and here's what they said about it. They said, I honestly think in theory that it's a good idea, but it totally depends on the individual childminder and their circumstances, i.e. using a car, house space, general getting to activities like rhyme time, willows, etc., etc. Another one said, I don't have strong feelings on it. We wouldn't take on any more children, as I feel the numbers we are currently permitted to take is the maximum we would want to take on in order to maintain high quality childcare. If we were taking on younger children, we would not take on so many. An increase in the numbers would allow more flexibility, but it does depend on each individual childcare being aware of their personal limitations. Now, isn't that just leaving too much to chance? Like, why leave it at the discretion of somebody who was more driven by finances than by quality?
Absolutely. I mean, Lydia, listen to this fact, and that is that in the Netherlands, they deregulated childminding in 2000, okay? At that point, there were 6% unsatisfactory childminders, across the country, across the Netherlands. 8 years later, that figure goes up to 49% being rated as unsatisfactory. So by deregulating, you know, what happened? So giving people the chance to say, yeah, I can take more, I can charge less.
Yeah.
You know,
and obviously, guys, there is a flip side to this argument, which is the country's bankrupt.
Yeah.
Lots of women want to go to work and can't afford it. And the government's perhaps possibly making huge efforts to make it more affordable for women to do what many of them do want to do and go to work. So I think that is
a pivotal question, actually. In the show tonight, we hope to get to the bottom of that. Does it really financially will it make a difference for the individual parents? Now, we're going to speak to Neil Leach, who is from the Preschool Learning Alliance, in just a few minutes. Join us for that.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Thanks for joining us back on the Parent Show this evening. So we're going to talk to Neil Leach, who's from the Preschool Learning Alliance. He's on the phone with us now. Neil, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Lydia.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Delighted.
Now, we know that the Preschool Learning Alliance has created an e-petition against the proposed changes to childcare ratios. So we know you're against the changes. Tell us why.
Well, I think there are, frankly, several reasons. I'm interested in what your colleague said earlier, I mean, from a very practical point of view, because we, like most of our members, frankly, we live this on a daily basis. And we know that if we want to maintain the level of care that we currently offer, I mean, we can't physically do it. There's not a shred of evidence at this particular point in time that supports this argument that higher qualifications means that you can care and support more children. There is a link. I accept that there is a link between, if you like, better qualifications and Ofsted outcomes, but it doesn't give you, as your colleague said, it doesn't give you an extra pair of hands, and it doesn't give you two more eyes, and it's very difficult from a very practical point of view to do it. So I think that there are just a couple of reasons to start with.
definitely. I mean, there's, yeah, that's a good start. How's the petition doing?
Well, I think we're doing quite well. At this particular point in time, we have over 5,000 signatures on the government's official petition. But when you add to that the fact that we've already had about 15,000 parents sign a written petition, and there's about another 60,000 signatures through a variety of sort of petitions out there, we are now up to about 80,000. And yet, you know, we're deemed to be wrong, and a couple of government ministers and officials seem to think that they're right, and there just seems no logic in that, frankly. So,
can you tell us, I mean, from the Preschool Learning Alliance's perspective, is there anything positive in this change?
Well, it's hard to find it. I mean, you know, parents don't seem to want it, carers don't seem to want it, and even the highest qualified staff who this is meant to assist don't seem to want it. So it's difficult to see that, frankly, there is anything sort of positive within this. I mean, we're told that it will reduce the cost of childcare, and isn't that what parents need? And the answer is, of course, yes, it is. But in a survey that we did back in October, I can tell you that 94% of practitioners, and that's a lot of people, it was about 1,000 settings, said they felt, first of all, quality would reduce, and about three-quarters of them said, even if we were able to save a few pennies here and there by bringing in more children, we will not be able to pass that back to parents because, frankly, we're on the breadline at this particular point in time anyway. So I can't see how you can basically, you know, assure parents that more money is coming back to them. I mean, I think what government wants is it wants world-class childcare, it wants a highly paid workforce, and it wants parents to have cheap childcare, and it just doesn't go. If you invest half of what some of our Scandinavian countries do, you can't have it all.
Neil, the government is claiming that, you know, international comparisons with France and Denmark, I think I read today, you know, they're saying, look, people in France do it, the childminders, the nurseries in France are doing it, why can't we?
Well, if you talk to people that actually work in those nurseries, have visited those nurseries, and look at some of the blogs that are out there, one of my colleagues, Juno Sullivan, recently went out there, viewed those nurseries, and I tell you, it doesn't paint a pretty picture. And also, I have to say, the information that's given out to parents is incredibly misleading. When they talk about ratios, for example, in France, what you're not told is that there's another suite of ancillary sort of workers that just feed the children or just give the children their bottles. There's another group that basically come along and change their bottoms and wipe their noses. So you're not comparing like we'd like.
Because in this country, obviously, we're expecting those early years people to do everything.
To do the whole thing. And I'll say this as well, Lydia. When we had the Minister of Denmark sit in front of us, and she said to us, actually, for two-year-olds, we have better ratios than you do. We don't have to legislate because we don't accept a position whereby we will relax those ratios. And in fact, they are now investing something like £59 million, or the equivalent thereof, to make sure that their ratios don't basically go by the wayside. And you have to accept that their government invests twice as much as a percentage of their sort of GDP as we do.
Well, it's so unfortunate. I mean, you make such a compelling argument, Neil. It's such an unfortunate situation. We invited Elizabeth Truss on the show this evening, but she declined. And we also invited Anne Main, who's the Conservative MP for St Albans. She also declined. But we will be speaking to MP Peter Lilly, who is the MP for Harpenden and also Conservative, in just a short while after you. But I mean, the arguments are compelling. Shirley, what would you say?
I think I agree with everything that, you know, we're hearing from Neil tonight, absolutely everything. And some of those facts, Neil, that you've just sort of shared with us, I had here on my clipboard ready to say.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
No, not at all. But, you know, it's great that, you know, you're backing up what I was thinking. The other thing, I don't know whether you'd known this, Neil, but, you know, 2 weeks ago in Sweden, you know, quite renowned sociologist was saying to his MPs that the low staff ratios and the long hours in childcare that the children are, you know, have spent there are now leading to behavioural problems for the teenagers over there, and truancy. Now, why do we want to do this? Is that what we want to set up?
Mental health problems, don't they? You know, and so, you know, that's why I say I think we're being given sort of half truths here, and that is not helpful, you know. I mean, I think it's about, just to say, I think it's about priorities. You know, people say, well, what would you do? You know, what's the alternative? But I sit around tables where people say, but there's no more money, what else can we do? And I frankly won't accept that. We had a situation when we were putting on the Olympics, we started off with a budget of around £2.5 billion. Somehow it ended up at £10 billion, and we found the money for it. And I think, frankly, that the well-being, the safety and the care of our children is equal to staging the Olympics. So yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Neil and Shirley, can I just put it to you that perhaps are early years professionals vocal enough? Is that community vocal enough about demanding, you know, enough, you know, respect for what they do and understanding for what they do?
I don't know that we are, Kathy. You know, we're there for the children, really. People that do this job, they put the children first, and that's a saying that I had in my setting for years. The children come first. You know, if you want to go to the toilet, you hold on as the adult, because the child comes first. But I think, you know, it is raising the profile the last 6 years, and people are realizing now that somebody like me, maybe a graduate with a lot of experience, needs to be paid more than £7 an hour to lead a setting of 18 adults, you know, and I've got 120 children sometimes going through it sometimes of the year. So I don't know, Neil, what do you think?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think when I first of all, you know, we have some of the lowest paid people that work in childcare, and yet if you talk to most people, you know, everyone will say, well, certainly, you know, the people I talk to will say that children are incredibly important and we should be prepared to invest.
Yeah.
The difficulty is that we're still trying to play catch up with what are some of our European sort of partners are doing. But when you talk to people that work in childcare and you ask them why they went into it, the problem is they don't say to make a fantastic profit, because I can read a balance sheet, because I'm good at, you know, profit and loss accounts, etc. They use words like love, care, softness, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And we use that. We play on it and we take advantage of it.
Great, Neil. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We'll certainly bear your arguments in mind over the next few conversations.
Thank you.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, we're joined on the line from Peter Lilly, who is the Conservative MP for Harpenden. Peter, are you there?
I am.
Great. As you know, we're talking about childcare ratios this evening. Can you tell us what your position is on childcare ratios and the proposed changes to increase them?
Well, I think they're very sensible. We have the highest childcare costs of anywhere in Europe, except apparently Switzerland. And that's partly because we insist on having very low ratios. In other countries, they allow as many as twice as many children per carer. And in some countries, they have no upper limit at all. But they do have more highly qualified people employed. And so what the government's proposing is, if someone has achieved the higher level of qualifications, then they can be allowed to care for more children. Parents will have the choice, of course, between the present ratio with lower qualifications or the higher ratio with better qualifications.
Peter, we're joined in the studio tonight by Shirley Heyman, who is a former owner of Riverbank's Nursery School, 25 years experience in an early years setting, saying that even she could not manage 13 two-year-olds on her own. You know, at what cost would you... I mean, are there any negatives to this argument of changing the ratios just to make childcare more affordable?
Well, it's certainly very important to make it affordable, and also to enable the employment of more qualified people. The early years of children's lives are absolutely crucial, and the more appropriate care and attention they get, the better it will be for them.
Well, we've had a lot of arguments tonight and a lot of emails and texts saying that there is absolutely no doubt from the early years community of professionals saying, some of them say it feels like we're stepping back to just caring for children, ignoring the early learning aspect. Some of them saying, does it mean less time to engage with individual children, more time spent on practicalities? Will it lead to a drop in job satisfaction? And obviously, the main driver seems to be for them, not quality, but costs. And surely, quality is what parents care about, perhaps more than even affordability.
Well, you'll only get this higher ratio if you have a higher quality of qualifications of the staff involved. So the two go hand in hand. But we tend to have less highly qualified staff and lower ratios than most other countries.
Well, actually,
I'm often told how wonderful early year care is in France and in Denmark, Germany and Sweden. There's no limit at all set by the state.
But Peter, I've spent the last 6-7 years of my life training graduates to go out and lead settings all over the southeast of England, all kinds of settings, and I visit at least 3 or 4 a week now in my role, and I see lots of graduates leading settings, you know, supported by people that aren't graduates and the kind of people you're saying that are less well trained, maybe less well educated. You know, and we used to say years ago, and it seems incredible, we'd say, okay, what are you going to do? You can't do much. Do you want to do hair or care? Do you want to be a hairdresser or do you want to work with children? You know, that philosophy is going now. It is a much better, well-educated workforce. But, you know, you just can't do it. And what are you going to do with these people you're getting, you know, that are losing their jobs? Where are they going?
Well, hopefully there'll be more demand if people can afford it.
But
are you saying that healthcare on the continent is no good? I mean, is there childcare on the continent is no good?
I just think, like the guy that came on before, Neil, if you were listening to him, that, you know, we're told some of the facts and not all of it. I mean, Peter, you were great. You were so supportive to me a few years ago. You may not remember, and you helped me fight the top-up fees campaign leading in Harpenden and St Albans. We had a big meeting, and you were so understanding of how, yeah, parents do need to contribute for quality care and education. So what's your position now? Because it's kind of like you're sort of saying the opposite now.
No, the government's case is that these high ratios will only be allowed if there are more qualified staff. So the present situation can continue, but I'm told that nursery staff below supervisor level are currently paid barely more than the minimum wage, on average £6.60 an hour.
But then qualified people like me aren't paid that much, you know. We're lucky if we make £10 an hour. But I pay my dog walker more than I get paid.
That I understand. That's one reason why one wants to see changes in the ratio, which will allow higher pay and higher quality and higher qualification.
But the money that you save on one or two people isn't going to up my, you know, to 30, 40 quid an hour, I don't know.
Well, it's not going to have that dramatic effect, but clearly to move from 2 to 4... makes a difference.
Peter, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the discussion before. We were talking to Neil Leach from the Preschool Learning Alliance, who held a survey, and I think they said that 95% of people that they surveyed said that they would not hand down any reduction in fees to their clients if they were taking on more children. They would just consider it as an opportunity to create more revenue for themselves, and they would not pass it on.
Yeah, and Peter knows all about this, Lydia, because this is what we were fighting. You know, we're all going under. We're not sustainable, even in an area like Harpenden and St Albans.
So it does. I mean, what we're hearing from everybody we've spoken to tonight is that it doesn't seem to stack up. I mean, I know David Cameron flagged this as an incentive to reduce the cost of childcare, but to all intents and purposes, nobody's saying they're going to pass this, the reduction, on to parents.
Well, who knows what will happen. They at present we do have the highest costs, and that must partly be because of having the very tight ratios.
Peter,
I know whenever a change is proposed in anything, people oppose it. That's one thing I've learned in 30 years as a member of parliament, and then once it works in.
Peter, you know, I'm sure you're aware of Professor Cathy Nutt-Brown, who's one of the government's leading advisers in the early years. She's actually said the government's plans were nonsense and would lead to a dilution of the quality of the experience children will get in the early years. So it's a bit, it does put Liz Truss in a bit of an awkward position, does it not, when her own government adviser says it's not a good idea?
Yes, I heard that, but that also is not unprecedented. Do we hear horror stories back from the continent where either no ratios are applied or significantly higher ratios? No, we don't. On the contrary, normally I'm told by people lobbying for improvements in the UK, if only we had a good quality childcare as they have in France and Germany.
Neil Leach just actually commented that one of his members of his organisation did actually visit nursery settings in France and said it did not paint a pretty picture. And the other difference is in those particular settings, they hire auxiliary staff to do the nappy changing, the nose wiping, whereas in our settings, we expect our staff to do everything, it seems. Shirley, would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wouldn't it be possible to follow their example?
But then we're what are you saying? Because we're getting rid of the child care workers that we've got, but then we're employing less qualified people to come in and do the nose wiping and the potty training and stuff. It doesn't stack up, does it?
Well, as I understand it, you can continue with the present ratios and the present staff qualifications.
Yeah, and those of us that really are passionate about it will, but there is a concern that some people, when we deregulate like this, are not going to put quality first.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there for this evening. Peter, Lily, thank you so much for joining us on the Parents Show this
evening.
Thank you,
Peter.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
92.6 FM.
Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, as promised, we're going to talk to Ben Black, who is the director of myfamilycare.co.uk. Ben, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening on the Parents Show. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen. We've been talking to Peter Lilly, who's the Conservative MP from Harpenden, on the childcare ratios. We've spoken to Neil Leach of the Preschool Learning Alliance. And in the studio with us now, we've got Shirley Hayman, who's an early years expert. It's kind of two against one. Tell us, how do you view the proposed changes?
I guess that's two against one against the changes.
It certainly is, yeah.
We operate 20 settings. I'm in favour of what Liz Truss is trying to do. You know, one of the biggest problem we've got in the childcare industry is it's overcomplicated. Too much regulation, too many different streams of funding. So I'm kind of broadly sympathetic to what they're trying to do. And also, I think 90% of nurseries are good operators. And if you just look at it from an overarching point of view and say, actually, this is just giving good operators a bit of freedom to operate, to have a bit more freedom in how they operate, then from that point of view, I'm quite supportive.
Can I just ask you a question? Polly Toynbee is quoted to say, how do you fit six toddlers into a buggy? How do you manage your double buggy with four toddlers on leads? Can you get six in a car or on the bus to the park or the library? How do you manage journeys to nursery school and back? What do you say about that?
I think Polly Toynbee talks a lot of rubbish. This is about giving good nursery. I mean, probably no one winds me up more than Polly Toynbee. I mean,
don't worry, she's not in the studio. She's not
good. I mean, this is not about saying they're going to be. It's always going to be like that. This is about giving nurseries a bit more freedom to manage their ratios as they want. We run 20 settings. The changes happen. I can't imagine we're going to change anything quickly at all. But it's just making sure that we can manage our staff a little bit more sensibly, and if that leads to being able to employ better people or lower costs, then great. And if it doesn't, then you won't see many changes. So I think it's just a relaxing of the ratios rather than some massive shift in how nurseries are going to operate.
And Ben, as a nursery school provider, a nursery care provider, what's your view on the things that matter to parents? Like, you know, we want our child to have as much attention as possible. We know that early attachment theory tells us that our child should be spending good quality time, with one-to-one preferably, with an adult. I mean, are you confident and happy that in your nurseries the children are getting enough attention as it is with the existing ratios?
Well, there are a number of points you're making there. I mean, continuity of attachment is the most important thing. So, and then there's a question, what's more important, that you have less staff, but the staff you have are paid slightly more, and they never leave? I mean, one of the biggest tragedies is that you have so many people who would love to work in nurseries who leave to go and stack shelves in Tesco's because they're paid 20p an hour more. So, one-to-one care is amazing, but it's the continuity of attachment that's the most important thing.
So you would say it's sufficient that, say, a 2-year-old has a key worker who sort of keeps a track of them through the, you know. I think there's a gulf between, I know parents read Ofsted reports of nurseries and it's satisfactory or good and they think that's good enough. But I was just wondering if you think that parents are given enough information when they're choosing a nursery. You know, I mean, if somebody's going around one of your settings, what do you sort of say to them about ratios and how it'll affect the quality of the childcare their children will receive?
Well, I think if you ask the parents what's important, it's there are two things that always come out. I mean, one is quality of care and one is cost. And without being too blunt, the richer the parents are, the more important quality is, and the less money they have to spend on childcare, the more important cost is. And it's difficult. You know, the other, I have two hats here. I'm an operator, but also we have, we're involved in something called the Good Care Guide, which is a trip advisor, a parent review site for nurseries. And it's true, parents do need far more information, but I think just taking it back to fundamentals, you know, the most important thing, far and above Ofsted reports or quality of facilities, is how good and how loyal and how long-serving staff are. So anything that can improve that is a good thing.
Yeah, hi, I'm Shirley, who's sort of done the job that you're talking about. You employ people like me, I think. You know, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, when I was managing a place, we managed to keep staff for over, 20 years, quite a few of them. They weren't paid masses of amount, but they felt like they played a really important part in these young people's and their families' lives. You know, we were operating in a pack-away setting, so we were putting everything in and out every morning and every night, year after year after year. And these people stayed, you know, they didn't go off and work in the supermarket, Ben. I'm just wondering, you know, they weren't being paid, you know, 20 quid an hour by any means. So I think they felt supported, though. They felt like they were in a team because there was enough people around them. And I've always, always worked on 1 to 4 right throughout the age groups. You know, and I haven't made masses of money, but enough to pay half my mortgage living in St Albans, you know. I don't know. What do you think? Do you really think that 1 to 13 is going to be feasible for your EYPs that you're going to be employing?
Well, I haven't. When we look at it, you know, we say we're not looking at it like that. We just think a little bit more leeway, and if we could move people around with a bit more freedom, that would be a good thing.
Yeah,
so, it depends on how good the staff are. It depends on what the children are like, and I don't think anyone who's, you know, we manage nurseries on behalf of other people. So
right,
quality is the only thing that matters, and I don't think anyone in the industry thinks that you can have those kind of ratios all day long with children that need a lot more attention than that. So yeah, I'm not coming in here saying it's a great idea.
No.
But we are thankful that we might be given a bit more freedom to manage our ratios as we see fit.
Ben, can you offer us any other solutions? I mean, I mean, apart from fiddling with childcare ratios, are there any other ways to reduce the costs that don't, I mean, by all accounts, seem to even, I mean, none of the arguments are compelling for this. It seems like it's a risk, and you're putting responsibility and temptation in the way of child carers to reduce the quality of their care. Are there not other ways to reduce the cost to parents or to companies who provide childcare?
Well, I think that actually there's an article in the Times today, which I thought was about the best thing I've read, which was just talking. I think the reason the costs are so high is because there is so much regulation and there's so many different people involved. So, cutting local authorities out of the mix is going to create masses of problems, but broadly it's probably a good thing. And I think the real worry with what they're proposing on ratios is it's not the kind of 85-90% of nurseries that do care about quality, it's the kind of 15% where you might have some worries about the quality of care, and the real question is whether they are going to use the changes to just, you know, try and squeeze margins or just simply take stuff out of rooms they should be in. In terms of cost, I mean, it's a huge subject. There's more employers could do. I think the changes they're proposing with vouchers will work. But I think the first thing is they've just got to simplify some of the systems. And the problem is that if you simplify things, there are going to be some people that are worse off. And that's when you have people like Polly Toynbee screeching down the airwaves saying it's crazy. But I think the first thing is it's all got to be simplified, and then you've got to look at it again.
Great, Ben. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. We're slowly putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Thanks very much for your contribution.
Thanks very much.
All the best.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. So thank you to our contributors so far. We've had Neil Leach from the Preschool Learning Alliance, Peter Lilly, Conservative MP for Harpenden, and Ben Black from My Family Care. And we still have Shirley Heyman, The Parents Show early years expert, in the studio with us now. Shirley, Cathy, what do you think? I mean, we've heard a range of arguments for and against. Shirley, has anybody changed your mind? Has anybody enlightened you?
Not really, to be honest. You know, I just don't see how any sane person can say that it's a good idea. You know, and we've only just touched on the subject tonight, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I have to say, with the greatest respect, you know, even listening to Ben, he didn't sound like he was that convinced by it, in my ears.
Yeah.
I just don't know how it's going to make a difference to costs, really. The only way I can see making a cost difference to parents is if our government, like Neil was saying, put in a bit more money, you know, and that hasn't been spoken about tonight. You know, the government in Denmark, I think they put sort of 75% of the cost into children's
That's
nursery
a
care.
Huge amount. But then again, tax in Denmark is... It is astronomical,
right,
isn't it? I think it's really high.
I think I was struck by Neil's comment about, you know, that actually the comparisons aren't real. When you consider, well, actually they've got it better in France. When you actually go there, when his colleagues have been there, they've got a completely different setup, and it's very hard to compare contexts like that, like for like, isn't it, Shirley?
Absolutely. You know, and I've had MPs come into my setting whose names I won't mention. They've come in to have a look around for various things, and they stay, if you're lucky, for half an hour. You know, I would like to invite someone like our friend Cathy, who was it that we did the speech with recently, who wrote the parent book, Oliver James. He said any MP dealing with this should be working in a nursery for a week. Yeah, give them a week. Yeah. A lot of my mums, I have to say, came into the nursery, they'd do a day and they'd be exhausted and say, how do you do it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we're talking about people doing this day after day after day because they care.
Yeah.
I do think that parents need to take more of it, not just sort of leave your kids off in the morning and with a sense of relief, but actually take an interest in what that job is like for people in that setting and be more appreciative, because it is a very, very hard job. And I think we contribute to that sort of culture of sort of, oh, it's an easy job, you know, why are they complaining, they've got so many 30 children in a class, or like teachers, parents often complain, oh, you know, they have no comprehension of what that role is like or the complexity of it.
I think speaking as a parent who is relieved to drop my child off at nursery, you know, you like to know that somebody else is taking care of your kids even better than you do, in a way. That's your dream scenario, isn't it, with childcare, that they're taking care of your child better than you are. But you and I
have both experienced. I mean, when I went visiting nurseries, knowing nothing, I was horrified at some of them.
Yeah,
locally.
Absolutely.
Nothing,
absolutely,
you know. Children wandering, you know those nurseries, they wander around, they've got a snotty nose, they've had it for so long, it's dried. So you know that they haven't really been looked at for quite a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
And just sort of wandering around with a dodo in their mouth, they're very, very young, and you just think, and the manager showing you around saying, oh, we do all these activities, and well, actually, you know, you just trust your gut as a parent, don't you? But so some, I don't know if you have experience of other settings, Shirley, but sometimes when I was viewing some of the provision in the early days, I was a bit horrified, thinking, why would babies sleep on the floor?
Yeah.
Why would they let that happen? I thought, wow, that's shocking.
And I think that is quite often the case. So I just can't comprehend it. I've listened to all these experts on it, and I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. It cannot improve. It certainly can't improve the quality. How badly it affects the quality, we don't know, but it's certainly not a positive change. It doesn't look like it's going to affect the price. It's a regression,
We haven't even mentioned the international research, which they keep banging on about France and Denmark and Sweden.
Yeah.
You know, the New Zealand Ministry of Education did a massive comprehensive quality early childhood education review for under twos. It's consistent finding was adult child ratios of 1 to 3 are optimal. There's loads of evidence on that.
Yeah, and Denmark, I mean, there's a piece in The Guardian on why we just cannot compare UK to Denmark. I mean, there's plenty of information out there. I'm not convinced.
Well, you just hope that Liz Truss has really done her homework and that she has reviewed all of that evidence. And this isn't just a whimsical initiative.
Yeah, you know, and let's remember that we've just spent 7 years training up all these graduates, and in September this year that course is coming offline, and the government putting a completely different, you know, early years teachers course in now. So all these graduates who are ready, you know, we're not even being valued. So things change, don't they, all the time, Lydia? We know that. I just don't know what, you know, how we can have any influence on this apart from, please, parents, go online and sign the Preschool Learning Alliance. You know, Google it, the thing that Neil was talking to us about tonight, and we need more signatures. So
absolutely.
If you agree with what we're saying.
That would be exactly. I mean, we've provided the information. Obviously, it's up to every parent to decide. And if you decide this is, you know, a regression, get onto the Preschool Learning Alliance site and sign Neil's petition. Shirley, thanks so much for joining us this evening. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.